At Drummond Golf, we understand your passion.
Nice roll.
And that's because every Drummond Golf store is owned and run by a local who loves the game as much as you do.
Yeah, it's come off the face really well.
Someone who knows where you play and what you need.
Oh yeah, looking good.
With Australia's biggest range and expert knowledge.
Great. Now let's try that putter with this grip.
So if you want to improve your game, see your local expert at Drummond Golf.
I've never seen anything like it before, and to attempt to hit the ball out of there is pure madness.
The winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year is Cameron Smith.
This is the one that I've always wanted to win since I was a little kid, so it just feels pretty amazing to be able to get it done today.
It's amazing that it's my destiny to be the first Aussie to win. Just incredible.
Hello and welcome to Playing from the Tips and the 55th episode of Golf Australia Magazine's preview and tipping podcast exploring the vast landscape that is professional golf each week, hosted by myself, Jimmy Emanuel. As we do every week, we bring in some of the sharpest minds in the game to run through anything and everything you might find interesting across the world of professional golf and offer up some tips, or in lieu of that, whoever might be available. And with that in mind, we welcome from our so-called expert stocks, Rod Morrie. Rod, welcome.
Yeah, thank you, mate. I certainly wouldn't fit the bill of expert. I'm useless at this tipping stuff. This is not my forte, I think we've established quite clearly in the last 18 months or so.
Mm-hmm. It's quite okay because we've got the tipping maestro who unfortunately can't be with us, Adrian Logue. He continues to traipse across Europe with his Polaroid camera. So we don't get any help from him. But this week, we are going to look at the Valspar Championship, Fairhill Sayre Pack Championship, sponsor watch there, might be exciting, and Porsche Singapore Classic, all in our eyes this week. But before we do, as we always like to do, we look back at the week that was, highlights, lowlights, etc. Rod, anything from you?
Lowlight, Logue picking the winner at the Players without even being here last week. We assigned him Scotty Scheffler, and then Jamie Bugger managed to get home with another victory.
So he gave the feedback that he really enjoyed the segment,
of course,
who would Logue pick, which makes me even angrier that he even liked the fact that we were making fun of him.
Logue is all about Logue. Well done. What was it? I saw words I never expected to see in a text message last week. I'm just flying Romania to Madrid. That gives you an idea of what Logue's up to on his world travels. There's a.
That was a flight path.
I was going to say, I wonder if that was a direct flight. I think the wind up to the Challenger PGA Tour of Australasia. Obviously, I thought that tournament within a tournament. You don't pay much attention to the order of merit all through the season until this last event when it's close and there's DP World Tour cards up for grabs. Makes for really exciting stuff, and it was a fabulous finish, obviously, to the tournament as well. Itself, but in terms of sort of interest in one of the Players is obviously the biggest tournament of the week, but I thought that one was really good, and good to see three more Australians heading off to the European Tour.
Yeah, of course. Kazuma Kobori, Brett Coletta, Daniel Gale.
Once they're successful, Jimmy, we adopt the Kiwis. They're only Kiwis until they've had some success, then they become Australian.
Absolutely, but it was a very good finish, and I think for the first time that I can remember, there was a much greater emphasis on who was going to finish in the top 50 and keep their cards, because keeping your card on this tour here has become a lot more valuable.
Well, it's a step to the DP World Tour, isn't it? That's what professional golf is. You move up the steps.
Correct. Yep. Correct. So I thought that was pretty impressive too. Of course, Scotty Scheffler, we will mention, first player to ever defend the Players' Championship. That's a very impressive sort of a feat to have added to his career list. And then also winning back-to-back, he looks exceptionally dangerous. But also, I must say, having live Players teed up at Asian Tour events is proving to be quite an enjoyable little byproduct of the split and all that's going on. Having some really world class players playing Asian Tour events, it's quite enjoyable.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's really been a boon for the Asian Tour, this shifting sands of what the professional golf landscape looks like. I've been following golf a long time, Jimmy. I've never seen a time like this where things are moving in such seismic ways, and you're absolutely right about the Asian Tour. And these are kind of the unexpected ripple consequence effects of this live thing. But you're right, it was a good field and good play in Asia last week. Just on Scheffler, but obviously Scheffler, he speaks for himself. What a player Wyndham Clark has turned himself into.
Agreed.
Just extraordinary. didn't have his A game Sunday, but just still managed to somehow turn on. He's got that flair for the dramatic. Min Woo, of course, always manages to do something dramatic, which he did again at the Players holding out. But Wyndham Clark's, got that same, the bigger the moment, he just manages to find something special. So I was just amazed watching that golf on Sunday. It was, or Monday morning our time. It was amazing stuff.
And Wyndham Clark with one of the nastiest lip outs you'll ever seen, ever.
That ball defied gravity.
It
just looked at gravity and said, no thanks, punched it in the face and jumped out of the hole against all physics. So science cannot explain what happened there.
No, no. So he'll be thinking about that one for a few days, I'd suggest. On last week, and we already mentioned Logue's new tipping who would Logue tip segment, we managed one win and three top tens. We now sit at 44 top tens, I believe it is, for the year, and seven wins, again, unrivaled in podcast tipping for shows produced by magazines in Australia. And it was, of course, Logue, in inverted commas, who tipped Scotty Scheffler at the Players. So let's try and get away from that as quickly as we can and never speak of it again. So we're going to move ahead. Florida swing on the PGA Tour continues. This time, Valspar Championship at Innisbrook Resort's Copperhead Course. Once known as the Tampa Bay Classic, this has been the Valspar since 2014, with the trophy giving away the great clue for sponsor watch, because each year a guy gets awarded a giant paintbrush.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So they make paint.
They've honest, I'll be honest with you, I think Valspar have done one of the best jobs of any sponsor on the PGA Tour of making their, actually putting their product in front of people. Everybody knows, and I knew nothing about, I never knew Valspar was a paint brand. Obviously, I don't think it's a paint brand here in Australia, not that I know of, not that I do much painting. But they've done a terrific job. The T markers being paint cans. I'm not sure how they've actually
absolutely
done it.
Absolutely.
But you know that Valspar is a paint company, and that's exactly what a sponsorship's supposed to do. So I think they do the best job of anybody of sponsors on the PGA Tour. So.
Not only do they get their branding right in the sponsorship, but that is one of my favourite team markers of the year. Oh. Just to walk up to a tee and see a paint can, that's outstanding stuff.
Who hasn't wanted to smack a paint can with a driver at some point just to see what would happen?
And every year I look thinking, I wonder if it's full of paint.
Yes,
exactly. Like, that'd be the great gag on the guy who does smash the team marker and it explodes and paint goes everywhere. That'd be just magnificent stuff.
What colour would it be?
Oh, I think Valspar's colours are like a ready blue colour. So maybe it would just be their stock.
Burnt umber? Yeah, let's go with burnt umber.
Yeah, burnt umber.
Covered it with burnt umber. Yeah, indeed.
Yes. Taylor Moore won here last year to deny Sam Burns a three-peat, scoring pretty typically tough around Copperhead, where we are in for yet another week of constant reference to three holes, this time being the Snake Pit. Larry Packard designed this golf course. Doesn't yield too many birdies each year. Sort of, if you get to double digits under par, you're going to be in the top five, and you might even win. That's kind of the numbers we're looking at. It's very much a placement golf course. And then it's about the guy who holds the most putts. So always good ball strikers win around here. In terms of the field, you'd expect, and you'd be right, that most of the big guys are going to miss this. They've played Bay Hill. They've played the Players. The Masters is now around the corner, so they're all trying to get their scheduling and their rest periods right. But Sam Burns, who's won twice, as I mentioned, is back. And Xander Schauffele, who last week looked like he really was going to be the guy that was going to win the Players, he's back here as well. So he would be an absolute favourite, I would imagine. And on the Aussie front, Min Woo, who we mentioned before, is back in action. So too Aaron Baddeley and Harrison Endicott. So with all of that in mind, let's pick a winner. So, Rod, why don't you take the honour?
Well, it's all too easy, isn't it? But I do like Sam Burns. Had a poor Sunday at Sawgrass, but had a great Saturday. Says the game's not far away. I mean, it's easy to shoot 76 at Sawgrass, and that's what it's not that easy to shoot 76 at Sawgrass. I doubt I could do it, for example, Jimmy. But for a player of Sam Burns' ability, pretty easy to shoot 76 around Sawgrass. So that doesn't tell you a lot about the state of the game. The 65 on Saturday, I think, is telling it. At a place where he's so comfortable, players are funny like this. They come to some courses and it just fits their own. If you've won there twice, and he finished sixth, I think, last year, he's only finished outside the top 10 in two of the five times he's been there. So I like his chances again this week. He's in just the right – he's about to break through, I think, for that next sort of win. So I'll go with Sam Burns. It's an obvious one, but I like it.
And he's also got that that boost. He and Scotty Scheffler are best mates.
Yeah.
That, whatever it is, it just does it. Yeah. It does something for them. Yeah. Their friends play well, they play well. So that's a good tip. I'm gonna go with the favorite. I'm gonna go with Xander Schauffele, who early last week looked so good and just over the weekend kind of spluttered and sort of to the finish. He stands out here. There's no Scotty Scheffler to come and dominate over the weekend, so I think there's no beating Xander. But let's go left field for Logue. Who would Logue tip? Logue would be all over Maverick McNeely.
Oh, he so would. You're 100% right. That is exactly where he would be.
It's now become an enjoyable thing of scrolling the field list and being like, where does Logue's eyes go? And there would be some stupid validation of why he's doing it. It'd be something. He's probably off strokes gained by now, but he's got some.
He's
other,
moved to some other metric.
Justification.
We're going to get to the point where the players will start listening every week, and if they hear their name mentioned as Logue's tip, they'll be, yes!
Exactly.
Go Maverick. Exactly.
You know the feeling when your mate's golf ball flies past yours? Or when you're on the green in regulation, but he holds it from the bunker. At Drummond Golf, we get it. That's why we have our lowest price guarantee. As Australia's biggest, you can count on our massive buying power for the lowest prices in golf. But if you do happen to find a lower advertised price, we'll beat it. The Drummond Golf lowest price guarantee. Unbeatable. Conditions apply.
On we move, and Rod, you're going to tell us all about the Fir Hills, and that is Fir, F-I-R, as in the tree, Fir Hills Sayre Park Championship in California.
Well, there's a lot to unpack here, let me tell you. Let's start with
all
the sponsor. Went to the sponsor's website. Here's their, let's call it a word salad. Here's their, mission statement. Fir Hills is an investment firm pioneering a novel investment paradigm. We're really getting there already. Deeply rooted in the innovative ecosystem of Silicon Valley. So already, I don't know what they do, but I'm impressed. We are unwaveringly dedicated to fulfilling the unique needs of long-term strategic investors and industry leaders amidst dynamically shifting economic environments, Jimmy. Who doesn't love a dynamically shifting economic environment? Our innovative approach not only transforms ambitious investment opportunities into tangible achievements, but also promotes a strategy that emphasizes globalization, thereby enhancing corporate value through heightened global competitiveness and governance transparency. I just want to give them my money now. No idea what they do, but I just want to give them my money.
I heard so many words in there that are familiar.
Yeah.
That already are on the edge of my knowledge base.
The thesaurus.
Mixed in with other words that don't make a lot of sense.
That's right.
And I'm none the wiser to a company that I actually thought was the name of a golf resort when I first read it.
So did I. I thought it was the course name as well, which reminds me of the great Sandy Lyle line. You know, what do you think of this Tiger Woods? He said, I don't know, I haven't played it. It was in 1997. Up there with Curtis Strange, you'll learn.
Yes.
There you go. So that's the sponsor. But look, good on them. The tournament they're sponsoring, the Sayre Park Championships, first time it's adopted this name. Sayre Park, if you're young, you probably remember Sayre. I remember watching Sayre win the US Women's Open at Black Wolf Run. That might have been one of the great majors in history. Went to 20 extra holes. On the 90th extra hole, she hit one of the shots of the century, knee deep in water. Baseball swing ball above her feet, managed to get it out of the hazard, got it up and down for par, went two extra holes and beat the amateur Jenny Chisiraporn. And I watched that live, I recall. I was working at the casino at the time and it was on overnight. So if you haven't, go and have a look for that up on YouTube somewhere. It really was one of the most exciting tournaments imaginable. Sayre Park, of course. Without Sayre Park, we probably don't have Soyeon-Yu, In-Ji Chun, Hyo-Joo Kim, this whole generation of amazing South Korean players. She was a little bit like Greg Norman here in Australia, but even more intense. She was the leader from South Korea. So a real legend, a genuine legend of the game. She retired in 2016, Sayre Park, but what a player she was. Being played this year at the Palos Verdes Golf Club, and I just thought, oh, well, Palos Verdes, it'll be some sort of resort course in California. How wrong I was, Jimmy. This might be the most interesting thing this week. This is a George Thomas and William or Billy Bell design. They of Riviera Bel Air Country Club, LA Country Club fame. Did a lot of work in California and two of the more highly regarded designers. So I'm really looking forward to looking at the course this week. The LPGA, I seem to find myself saying this a lot. The course will be the star of the show this week. The course will be the star of the show this week. Not every week, but they're going to some really interesting courses, and this is another fabulous example of it. So that'll be worth looking at. It did undergo a sort of a reno restoration about 10 years ago. Todd Eckenrode did. The trees got out of control. Bunkers had just turned into little circular discs. He's put all of that back and enhanced the course somewhat. Well, that'd be up for debate, I guess, whether he's enhanced it or not. Made it, you know, ready for sort of modern play. They're celebrating their centenary this year. So that's what I'll be watching very intently this weekend. But, of course, the players themselves will turn on a show. Decent field always is on the LPGA. I'm going to tip this week Hyoju Kim, because I've wanted to tip Hyoju Kim a few times. I've never done it. She's just one of those, a bit like Ronin Yin. We don't talk about enough. Extraordinarily consistent and fabulous player. So I reckon Hyoju Kim might just get the job done this week.
Yeah, and I think that's all very true, particularly the golf course. I agree wholeheartedly with that. This is one of those ones that got renovated to go back to what it was.
Yeah, that's right.
It had become very Californian golf, and it's gone back to classic Californian golf, which is exactly what it needed. But I'm also going to go with a player that is not having the best year, but I think just – is getting ready to go back into the American mode. The Asian swing didn't go as well as it could have, so I'm going to go with Ronnie Yin.
Yeah, for a defending champion. Although I don't think it was don't think it was at this course last year. It's moved around. It's been played at Wilshire Country Club, this one. It's been a really good look at sort of some of the great golf courses of California. So that'll be just one last thing that people in Sydney in particular will be interested in. This is played on Kike. The fairways are Kike here, like Riviera.
Yep.
But the surrounds of the greens are not. They've gone with a different grass there, so the ball will roll away. But for Sydney golfers, always interesting to see how pros go with Kike, I think.
Correct.
Very different sort of
grass. And we'll give you the honour of going who would Logue pick with this one.
Look, I didn't have Logue in mind when I looked at the field. So let me think. Let me call it up first. You tell us your tip while I revisit visit the field.
That's quite okay. I've already got a Logue ready to go in my back pocket.
All right.
Yeah, because I saw that Australia / Korea's own G.I. Shin is playing.
Yes.
That's got Logue written all over it.
It does. It does. In fact, I thought about tipping G.I. Shin. That's a great call. I'd go with that. Well done.
Yep. Okay, we're going to move along, and finally this week, it's a fairly light week because we're in between that sort of players and majors start. So we go to Singapore. The DP World Tour makes its way to Asia in the Porsche Singapore Classic. And again, you, Rod, have all the good oil from Laguna National.
Now, you know that I'm not much of a TV watcher, Jimmy. Pop culture's not my thing. But did you ever watch a show called Two and a Half Men?
I did, yes.
You'll remember that the brother's character, the nerdy guy, Alan bought a car at some point, and Charlie kept calling it a Porsche, and Alan kept correcting him, saying, Porsche, it's a Porsche. So that's the sponsor watch this week. It's the Porsche Singapore Classic. Second year for this event, won by one of the great names in international golf, Oki Stridham. Than Hockey Stride, and that's just such a good name. The Laguna National Golf Resort in Singapore, 36-hole course. This will be played on the classic course, considered the more difficult of the two. 19 under the winning score last year. Now, with these things, all you can do is sort of go to YouTube and images on the web and see what you can see of the golf course. The course looks to be that sort of golf course. It's extremely intimidating for the likes of us, Jimmy. Water everywhere, big sandy waste area, bunkers running right up to the green. Doesn't bother the pros at all, that stuff. It's one of those.
Yeah, this one's is long enough to bother them. This was built as basically to beat people up, and so I don't think the members love getting out and playing very often.
Indeed, but 19 under as the winning score, the only time it's been played, tells you that the pros handle it generally pretty well, as they do with everyone, as you'd expect. Lots of holes sort of wrapped around water in those big expansive center. 17's an island green. Sorry, Huggy. like Sawgrass. It has a land bridge, Huggy. We acknowledge that, but I think calling it the island green makes the point. It's surrounded predominantly by water, apart from the pathway that comes in at about 11 o'clock on the green as you look at it from the tee. And the 18th has water all down the right. A split fairway, which I'm looking at the images, I can't figure out what the advantage is of sort of going down the right fairway, which is obviously what they're trying to do. It's the narrower one closer to the water, but look, there might be some interest there towards the finish. I don't recall watching any of this last year, so I can't remember how the course plays. But It's professional golf. Professional golf is always put on a show. Wouldn't matter if you played at my old club at Mangrove Mountain. The pros have put on a good show, Jimmy, because they're pros. That's correct. Why they have their names absolutely on their bags.
In fact, it might be the best show that they would have all year.
They would struggle with the bumpy greens. Ironically, that is what would bring the pros under. The bad lies, the overgrown fairway grasses, all the rest of that sort of stuff, they'll deal with all that. But slow, bumpy greens, pros cannot handle because they just don't putt them almost ever. Shane Lowry, biggest name in the field. I'm not sure why. I'm assuming there's some sort of appearance fee or some sort of relationship at play here to see Shane.
He might have got a Porsche.
He might have got a Porsche. That's right. To keep in his second house in Singapore. He's obviously been playing pretty well this year, Shane Lowry. He had a great start at Sawgrass last week, faded a bit in the middle, finished pretty strong on Sunday. So he's in good form. He'd be the obvious one. He's easily the biggest name in the field, although Matthew Pavon returns to the DP World Tour as a winner on the PGA Tour, and that will do enormous things for his confidence. He will be my tip, in fact, a little bit later. Just to quickly, Michael Hendry gets a start. There's five players from the PGA Tour of Australasia have been granted starts. Michael Hendry amongst them. Just really good to see him back playing a full schedule. This would have looked
absolutely
completely impossible to him 18 months ago, and here he is teeing it up. So best of luck to him. Dane Lawson, John Lyris, Tom Powerhorn, Andrew Martin are the other four. You know, John Lyris will be interesting to watch this year. He's that kind of player, isn't he? You just love to watch him. He's a great watch, John Lyris. There's something a bit electric about him.
John Lyris plays the game with just zero concern for the bad things that can happen when you hit a bad golf shot.
Yeah,
I spoke to a caddy in his group at the Australian PGA who said, that guy plays like he's got Cam Smith's bank balance. He's just he's got 200 and something to a green and a dodgy lie, and it's a hack out and layout for anyone. And you look back and suddenly John's taking the head cover off something and trying to hit a shot, and quite often does hit the shot. Yeah, so,
there's something a bit Spieth-like about him, I think, when I watch him. You just never know where it's going to go. But even more important, once he's hit it into the rubbish, you just never know what's going to – then it gets interesting. Now you know to see what happens.
That's when it's – when it makes sense to hit the exact opposite shot he's about to hit, it's when it's exciting.
Yeah, indeed. And I know it's a bit crabby. Every time I used to follow Brett Rumford at a tournament, secretly deep down, you'd just be hoping he'd miss greens in really awful spots because he would just produce magic. Just magic. So a little bit the same with John Lyris. Jason Scriver and David Michelucci, the other two in the field, they get in obviously on their DP World Tour membership. I'm going to go with Matthew Pavon. I think the boost of confidence from winning on the PGA Tour – in a way, he's stepping back a class to come and play on the DP World Tour, which is not as disparaging as it probably sounds. There's no shortage of great players on this tour, but the PGA Tour is by far the more competitive, obviously. Having had a win there, he'll be bullish when he gets back. So
I think that's pretty reasonable. I'm going to go with one of the ones who's a little surprise nugget in the field, and that would be live golfer Paul Casey.
Good find. Good find. I wonder
what he is a Porsche man.
He would be a Porsche man.
So that's where that comes from.
Yeah.
But he actually played decently last week, 2 weeks ago, and I think last week as well. He's played well in Asia before. Mm-hmm. He seems to that grainy sort of grasses and everything like that suits him really well. And he's also the kind of one who he'd have enough of a bee in his bonnet about playing a DP World Tour event and the whole Ryder Cup situation that he'll show up.
Yeah.
He'll show up to play.
Yep. Good call. I like it.
Paul Casey for me and Logue.
Did you already pick somebody?
Yeah, here's how Logue's brain works, right?
Right.
Kazuma Kibori is the new Kiwi member of the DP World Tour.
Yeah.
Kazuma's not playing here.
Right.
Daniel Hillier is. He's also from New Zealand. He won on the DP World Tour last year, and there's synergy there, and that falls right into the way Logue's broken brain works.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's well done. I'm all over that.
Yep.
I'm with you.
Yep.
Nice work.
Yep. That will do us for this week because we need to wrap things up so I can go to meetings and Rod can go to school. But thank you for joining us as always, Rod. It's been a pleasure.
Always a hoot, Jimmy.
Don't forget to follow along with all these events and so much more on the Golf Australia magazine website, golfaustralia.com.au, and get started with your master's preparation early. The April issue of Golf Australia magazine is out now. You can tell which one it is because Tiger Woods is on the front of it, so that'll stand out. There's 18 winners from Augusta National who would talk through how you actually win there, which is a fascinating read. And then there's an in-depth look at the Aussie contingent teeing it up, which is going to be led, of course, by Cam Smith. That will do us, and that is all. Thank you for listening to episode 55 of Playing from the Tips. We will be back next week.